I am a lover of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. If you have your Bibles, and you should. If you don't, bring them to church with you. If not, we have a Bible for you on the screen. But James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16 is where we're going to start. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, help us to do what you want done here tonight. Lord, help us to say what you want said. Father, we're just so grateful for the Word of God that we could gather around your Word to hear from heaven. Father, we're not here for man's plans, man's ideas, man's philosophies, man's theories, man's opinions. We're here to hear from the living God. And Father, the way you do things on the earth is one of the ways that you speak to people is through ministers. So Father, this isn't about me. This is always about you. So Lord, I ask you humbly tonight, like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. May I say what you want said, Father. May I speak as the oracles of God tonight, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but Father, a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you word from heaven will flow from my mouth tonight and will hit bullseyes. And it'll cause increase and it'll cause change. For Lord, any time we have an experience or an encounter with you, it can't help but change us for the better. So Father, we thank you for all that's going to happen tonight and all that is to come. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, in James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says to confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. But I want to focus on the end. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, would you please pull that up in the Amplified? I love what the Amplified says about that. The Amplified version of that verse. It says, too, at the end of it, it says that the earnest, heartfelt, and then go to the next slide, thank you. Go to the next one, thank you. Continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. You can go back to the King James there. We've been talking lately about prayer. Not only prayer for our individual lives, but corporate prayer. Well, we can see in this verse why prayer is so important. You could say it this way. Prayer equals power. No prayer, no power. Prayer, power. No prayer, no power. And so why do we need to be praying corporately for the plan of God? Because it needs power to go forth. Why should we be praying personally? Because no prayer, no power for our lives, no power for our kids, no power for against the things that the enemy would come against us with. And so prayer is important. And I love it. You know, this just saw my heart real quick to show you this. Look at verse 13. Notice what it says in verse 13. And he's talking to, goes on to talk about prayer. He says, is any among you afflicted? He says, is there any among you going through tests and trials? Is there any among you that's being pushed against? Is there any among you that the devil is on your case, is coming against you? Notice what it says. Is any among you, let the pastor pray for you? Come on. Is any among you, send your prayer card in to Joel Osteen and hopefully he'll pray for you? I'm not saying, I tell you, put your prayer crest down because I can agree with you in prayer. But first and foremost, what's it say? For the afflicted person, they ought to be prayed. Who? The afflicted one. Why? You have more authority and more faith in your own life than I have over your life. Just like you don't have authority and faith in my life. You can agree with me and you can join your faith with me, but you don't have the faith for my life like I have for my life. Just as, even though I'm your pastor, I don't have the same faith for your kids. I don't have the same authority in your family over your finances. Now, I'll agree with you and I'll come together with you. But that's why it says, let him pray. Notice, you know, if you're writing prayer requests down, just wanting me to pray for him and you're not praying, you're not doing what the Word says. You are first and foremost to pray. Well, why? Well, we can see in verse 16, why? Because power is made available. And in those afflictions and in those tests and trials, to get through those, to get to the other side of those, to get out of those things, it might take some power. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're prayers. Praise God. And so we've been talking about praying. We've been talking about the importance of prayer. And, you know, I think it's important that in all that we do, you know, people have gone before us and have succeeded in things. There's certain things, thank God, in the Word and through what the Word tells us and through ministers that we don't have to figure out ourselves. You know, the snowplow driver gets up in the middle of the night and goes plows the roads before people can go to work. Why? So that people don't have to go through things. He clears the way for them, right? He sets the example. Thank God for it. And there's lots of examples for us in the Word. And how many of you know, I just, when it comes to people in life, you know, when it comes to me learning about hunting, learning about sports, learning about even things in the ministry, I'm looking at people that were successful. Yeah. Amen. You know, there's a book that I've read before. It's called God's Generals. And in that book, it talks about some mighty men and women of God that have went before us. Some of those mighty men and women of God that had strong anointings and things, they failed. They were taken out early. They got mixed up into wrong things. They got into wrong believing. You know, even they had anointing. I'm not looking at their life. I study their life to see what not to do, but I'm not looking at their life to see what to do. I'm looking at people like, of course, in the Word, you got Jesus, of course, and I'm going to get to him in a second, Paul and the ministers, and then you have people on the earth that went before us, like the Brother Hagins, the Pastor Hans, people that are running their race, that have run their race, that finished their course, that are finishing their course, that you follow after. Why? They've gone through some things. They teach us. We follow those examples, right? I'm not going to follow somebody that's trying to teach me how to hit that leads the league in strikeouts. Right. Yeah, come on. Teach me how to shoot, oh person that never makes a shot. No. Find me the person that makes the shots, that hits the ball, that, right?
Right. That's good.
How do I shoot a ball? You who never hits a target? Don't ask that person. Ask the person that's hitting the bullseyes. Amen? Well, I don't think there's any better example in life than Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, go with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Look what it says about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, right? Who what? Is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, if you look up that word author in the Greek, it talks about one that you look after, one that you follow after, one that you are looking at their example. What I'm trying to say to you is Jesus is our ultimate example. And it tells us that. You don't have to turn there, right? You can just write it down. But in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, and I believe down through verse 25, it talks about Jesus being our example. Amen? Well, when it comes to the area of prayer, thank God the Bible declares some things or reveals some things about the prayer life of Jesus. Now, I'm guessing that there's nobody that knew how to do it more perfect, that knew how to do it more right than Jesus himself. And so when it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to being prayers, which we have focused on, why do we need to be prayers? Because prayer equals power. No prayer, no power. You need power. The church needs power. The plan of God needs power. Now, what you're going to see tonight in the example here with Jesus is that Jesus was a prayer. Isn't it interesting that he was the Son of God? The Bible says that he was anointed with the Spirit of God without measure. What's that mean? Men and women of God have anointings, but there's a measure on it. Jesus didn't have a measure. He was anointed, the Son of God, had been at the right hand of the Father, seated there now, and yet he was a prayer. He was on a mission to save the world, and yet we see him oftentimes in prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus was a prayer. We know that we've seen in the Word that the benefits of prayer, corporately and personally, that we need to be prayers. And so there's no one better to look at in the area of prayer than Jesus himself, praise God. So I want to look at some things tonight in the Word concerning Jesus' prayer life. Now, what I'm going to focus on tonight is Jesus' private prayer life or personal prayer life. Jesus had a public prayer life too. You see him at times praying in public, praying for people, right? Declaring some things out and about, but we also see some times of private prayer life. And how many of you know there's a public prayer life? We just spent time praying. When Pastor Mike prays from the pulpit, that's a public prayer. There's times maybe you're praying for people at your jobs and your family, and it's in public. But how many of you know there's also a private prayer life? Amen. Actually, the naysayers of the speaking in tongues mix up the private and the public, or the ministry use of it, and they mix them all together. And that's one of the reasons why they don't believe that, that everybody can speak in tongues or pray in tongues, is because there is a public side to tongues that has some kind of rules and order to it. But then there's also a private prayer time where you can take off. Everybody has been able to, isn't able to do this if they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so there's a private and there's a public. Tonight we're going to focus on Jesus's private prayer life or personal prayer life that will help you, and some things that we see that stand out in Jesus's private prayer life that will help us to take some notes from him, for him to be our example to follow after. So I'm going to read about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures. You can write those down. We'll have you put them up on the screen as we go about. I'm going to read all of them, and then I'm going to show you three things in each of these references concerning Jesus' private prayer life that stand out specifically, that the Bible mentions about his private prayer life, that we need to adopt in our own prayer life to have success in prayer. Amen? Why? He's our example, and he didn't fail. Why do we follow after Jesus? He never missed it. He never failed. He never did it wrong. He never did it average. He never did it halfway. He never did it three-fourths way. He hit the bullseye in everything he did, and prayer was no different. So let's find out some things tonight. Praise God. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23 is where I'm going to go first. And again, we're looking at his private prayer life, and we're going to see some things, and then I'm going to tie them together at the end about the three things that stand out. So don't think you have to try to figure it out or write all this down. But Matthew 14, 23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When evening was come, he was there alone." That's a private reference to Jesus' private prayer life. Go with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Again, just going to point out some scriptures. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let every word be established. So we're going to give you five concerning Jesus' private prayer life. Mark 1 and verse 35 says that, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Go with me to Mark chapter 6 and verse 46. Mark chapter 6 and verse 46. "And when he had sent them away, he departed into," or unto, "a mountain to pray." Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. So we see Jesus was a prayer. Amen. Yeah, I'm guessing if he had the Spirit without measure, was the Son of God, and was anointed, and he had to pray, I'm guessing that we're going to need to pray. Amen. I mean, that's just the common sense kicking up in me. Amen. I mean, your pastor's a genius. If you heard the story on Sunday about me and my runaway story when I was a 16-year-old boy, that's a true story. I ran away. I was on the lam with Pastor Tim. I'll tell you how much of a genius I am. And here I am. We check it into the Colonial Inn in Williamsburg, Virginia. In the days before you needed a credit card to check in, just if you had the cash, you could get it. You know, those are different days back then. And we had run away, left runaway notes and everything. I mean, you ought to hear that testimony. Maybe we'll feel led to share it here sometime. And when I was checking into the hotel, 16-year-old boys, you know, I'm writing down my information. Mike Anderson, 220 Camp Street, Jamestown, New York, 14701. And all of a sudden, I feel this. And Pastor Tim's nudging me. He says, "Get over here." I said, "What?" He said, "What are you doing? We're on the run. You can't put down our real information. Figure this out. I got this. I got this." So I went back over, changed some things, you know, and then got the receipt. You know, I got the little yellow piece of paper, the white, whatever then they gave me. And he grabbed it, and he looked at it. Now, remember, I wrote down before my information, 220, Mike Anderson, 220 Camp Street, Jamestown, New York, 1471. So he looks at it, This is how much genius your pastor is. So he looks at this and it says, Mike Anderson still. Now remember, 220 Camp Street's where I lived. And he looks at it and says, 220 Camp Ow. I added an O and a W. 220 Camp Ow Street, Jamestown, New York, 14701. And he's like, oh, wow. You know, that'll throw him off. I mean, if the authorities are out looking for Mike Anderson, 220 Camp Street, Jamestown, they're going to say, this can't be the one because of the Camp Ow. So your pastor's got some common sense, I'm telling you. So amen. Praise God. If Jesus needed to pray, I'm guessing we need to pray. That's the Camp Ow kicking up in me. Amen. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. Is that where I said to go? Yes. Luke 5 and verse 16 says, and he, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness to hunt. No. To pray. To pray, praise God. Bummer. I still haven't found that one with him yet, but praise God. But although Peter did say, remember Peter had a vision? There was a great sheet going over the whole earth. And what did it say? Rise, kill, and eat. That's my pro-hunting scripture right there. So all you anti-hunters, I got scripture on you. I got scripture on you. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So we need to be prayers. Why? Prayer equals power. No prayer, no power. Is any among you going through a test and trial? What's he say? Add some power to that thing. That's what he's saying when you pray. And so we need to pray. Well, if Jesus needed to pray, we obviously are being told we need to pray. And he's our example. The Bible tells us, look unto him. He's our example. Why? He's the one that's never missed it. He's never failed. As much as Brother Hagin did it right, he wasn't Jesus. As much as Pastor Nancy does it right, she wasn't Jesus. As much as Dr. Summerall and the mighty men and women of God that have gone before, Paul and Peter, they weren't Jesus. We can still learn from him. Paul did say, don't misunderstand me. Don't think that you can't learn from a human being, because you can. Because Paul said, follow me, follow after me, right? Hallelujah, praise God. And the pastor ought to be example to the sheep. But Jesus still is the most perfect. And thank God the Bible shows some things about his prayer life. So I want to show you three things in these scriptures, and we'll kind of bounce back and forth from them. But are you ready to look at three things that you must adopt in your prayer life to have the success that Jesus had? You know, it's just like Jesus in the wilderness, right? When Jesus was tempted of the devil, and he showed us how to overcome that temptation, did he? He showed us how to deal with the devil. That's how you do it, people. Yeah. Reverend Joel Siegel wrote a song, and in the line it says, do what Jesus did and things will turn out right. Why? He was the perfect one. When you do it his way, you're doing it the perfect way, and you get the results that Jesus had. Don't think you're going to deal with the devil in a different way than Jesus dealt with the devil. Jesus didn't pray for the devil to get away from him. Jesus didn't summon God when it came to the devil. No, Jesus used his authority when it came to the devil. He showed us what to do. Don't try to do it a different way. Well, it's the same thing in prayer. Let's find out some things in prayer about what Jesus did so we can be successful and be skillful in these things. So number one, here we go. Three things I see in Jesus in his personal prayer life, his private prayer life, was he made or found the time to pray even when it wasn't convenient. He made time or found the time to pray even when it wasn't convenient. You could say just say it this way. He made time to pray. He made time to pray, ladies and gentlemen. He made time to pray. It's kind of like the people that say to me, I'll tell them, you know, you got to renew your mind of that. You got to renew your mind. You got to renew your mind. I was talking with a gentleman on Sunday from South Dayton, and I had ministered to him during the middle of the week on the phone, and I had said to him, I said, your problem is not what you just told me it is. Your problem is you're thinking wrong about that. You're thinking wrong about your life. You've adopted what you think about yourself and what the world has said about you and what your circumstances said about you, but God's word says something totally different. And if you'd live out of the revelation that what he said is the way it is, then you'll be successful, praise God. Yes, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I'll tell people, now this person didn't say this to me, so if they're out there listening, I'm not picking on you, didn't say this to me, but I've heard this before when I've said to people, you need to renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? You gut that out. You gut it out and replace it with the word. And you got to however dirty and messy it is up there is the word you're going to need. And I've told the story of how I was bound in condemnation years ago. And I listened to a Pastor Nancy message on condemnation over 1,000 times to get my mind renewed. And people say to me, how long do I have to do this? How long do I have to confess? You know, we talk about confession. You do it until it changes. Amen. You do it until it works, praise God. And they'll say, well, I don't have that time. And I'll say, well, then you must have time to be sick. Well, you must have time to be depressed. You must have time to be broke. I don't have time to be broke. I don't have time to be depressed. I don't have time to be sick. I'm going to do what needs to be done, praise God. And people say, I'm too busy to pray. Then you're too busy for power, supernatural power, to impact and change your life. Yeah. Is any among you afflicted? If he has the time and if it's convenient, let him pray. No. See, if you're afflicted enough and in test the trial enough and need enough power, you'll make the time. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus found the time. Notice what Jesus was doing on the earth. If you read a lot of these, the scriptures beforehand, before Jesus went to depart, he stopped his ministry. He's in the middle of a busy ministry. How many know Jesus wasn't bored? He's saving the world. The greatest superhero ever. Amen. Jesus is the greatest superhero ever. Superman don't have nothing on him. Jesus saved the world, praise God. And a lot of times you'll see he's in the middle of doing things and he stopped, sent the multitudes away, just got done ministering, didn't go kick his feet up on the couch. Now there's time for rest, don't misunderstand me. But he would go and pray. Why? He understood something. Prayer is not optional. Now, if you don't want to live victoriously and you don't want to live and hear God's voice and you don't want to live according to the Holy Ghost, prayer can be optional. But if you want abundant life, you want to be successful, you want to hear from heaven, you want to move things in your life, you want to be a blessing to the kingdom, prayer is not optional. Right. Why? Prayer is power. No prayer, no power. Hallelujah. And we see Jesus. Here he was serving the people. Here he was ministering, doing important things, casting devils out of people, healing the blind, healing the deaf, healing the dumb. He was doing it all. I mean, he was literally rescuing people. But here's the thing you have to understand. Serving in the church, reading your Bible even, being faithful to come to service, witnessing to the lost. Those are all good things, but they cannot take the place of prayer. Remember over there, we don't need to turn there for time's sake, but remember in Revelation chapter 2 with the church at Ephesus, where he told all the things they're doing. They look like the model church. Like he's saying, you're hitting it here. You're hitting it out of the park here. You're hitting the bullseye here. And it sounds like, man, that's how I want my church to be. But he says, there's one thing I have against you. And he says, you better repent and change that. He says, you've left your first love. Now, it doesn't necessarily say you stopped praying. But you know what your first love is with the Lord? Is your fellowship, your intimate time with him. What is that? Prayer. Your time alone with him. What he's saying is you are doing all the stuff that Jesus was doing, you know? Jesus was out doing this. I mean, he's saving the world. You would look and say, there's no time for prayer. When you don't understand the power of prayer, you might say, that stuff's more important. But that stuff only happened as a result of the private times. When the Lord showed me, for those of you that weren't here in the prayer session, I had mentioned what happened on Sunday. I got done with worship and all of a sudden the words came up. It was something along the lines of, and I'll get on there, because I need to get this exactly, and if somebody could get on there and listen to it for me, it'd be great. Something along the lines of that the miracles are going to start popping, or something along the lines of that, that prayer is going to come. I don't remember exactly what it was, but the gist of it was that miracles are going to start coming. When that happened, I saw a popcorn popper, an air popper. And I knew immediately what it meant. Just like when an air popper, you put those kernels in, and it heats up in there, and then it'll come shooting out. It doesn't. The whole bowl of popcorn doesn't come shooting out in one fell swoop. First, the kernel will pop in there, and then you'll see another popcorn come in, and then it starts coming, multiplying, right? And that's what the Lord said, that when we are with this prayer kick that we're on, you know, and when I say kick, I don't mean that disparaging, like we're just going to this is just something we're doing for now. No, this is going to be our new normal. Amen. And I finally got that revelation. You know, just pray for me. Will you pray for me? Amen. Pray for me. But anyways, no, I got that revelation that we need to do it no matter what the logistics, no matter what the cost, no matter what, how uncomfortable, no matter what inconvenience, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
People need to be saved. Amen. People need to be set free.
Right.
And the Lord said that just like a popcorn popper, when it heats up, that prayer is like the popcorn popper heating it up. And when people are praying, then things are going to start happening. Well, what is that? That's along the lines of the same thing. It's like you look at Jesus, you think, he doesn't have time to go pray. No. He can't do what he's doing without prayer. That's the time he hears from God. That's the time he tanks up on the power of God. That's the time he gets revelation. That's the time he gets instruction. Amen?
Amen.
And you see that revelation too. The Lord said, that's all well and good, the doing. Coming to church, serving, coming and cleaning during the week, and we're thankful for that, and serving in the nursery, serving in the sound, serving as an usher, serving in children's church, doing what you're doing is great, and witnessing to people, and living that life, but it can't replace the private time, the intimacy with the Father.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And let's be honest, busyness, go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, busyness robs from people's spiritual life. Now, would you dare say that prayer is a need?
Amen.
That you can't live without it, right? Unless you don't want the power, right? Unless you don't want that blessing that comes from it. So, we could say prayer would be a spiritual activity that would be something the believer can't live without. If Jesus couldn't live without it, we can't live without it, correct? Amen. Well, it says here in Luke 10:38, came to pass as they went and entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So Jesus is at Martha's house. And she had a sister, so Martha had a sister named Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. So Jesus is in this house, in Martha's house, and sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing the word of God. So Jesus is preaching the word. And I'll tell you something, I got a revelation. Oh, I got a revelation. I'm going to go share it right now. But I got a revelation during prayer time. Whoa, man, I got a revelation during prayer time about this. I'll share it some other time. I don't have time to get off out of that. If we had time, my heart was saying to do it, we'll do it. But that's just a little teaser. I'm not trying to tease you, but that's just a teaser. Anyways, Martha received her house. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, heard the word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. What is that? Martha's busy. And came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Bid her that she come and help me. So she's mad, goes to Jesus, said, my sister's in my house. There's a lot to be done. That's why I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, because there's a lot to do, a lot of busyness to do. Tell her to come help me. Well, what is she saying? I'm busy, Lord. What was sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing the word? A spiritual activity that can't... You could say it this way. See, the prayer has its place. Hearing the word has its place. You can't go without either.
That's right.
They're both needs.
Amen.
Even though prayer's not mentioned here, we already have established you can't live without prayer to be successful. So let's see what Jesus thought about something that was a spiritual need when there's chaos and busyness in the natural. And Jesus answered her and said, Martha, you're right. Mary, get over here. What is the matter with you? No. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are careful or anxious or troubled about many things. Now go on to verse 42. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus didn't say, oh, Martha, I get it. I understand that you've structured your life in such a way that doesn't allow you to hear the word. I completely understand. No. Jesus put her in her place, said, because you think about it, do you think that Mary might have had some things going on in life too? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you think that Mary might have been busy too? Sure. But guess what? She made time. Well, what's Jesus saying about a spiritual need? Doesn't matter how busy you are. You need to make... If you're too busy to do what the Word tells you to do, that's not His problem. It's not His problem. It's your problem. And you need to change some things. Praise God. Remember what it says over there in Mark 4:19? It says, the cares of this world come in and rob from people, right? That's what it says. the cares of this world, the busyness. People get so busy. People get so... And the spiritual lives go down the drain. Oh, amen, amen, amen. I remember years ago I had gotten out of order with my hunting. Shocker, I know. And I was spending all my time and all my money directed towards that hobby. I just got obsessed with it. And it's interesting, you know, a side note, the Bible says seek first the kingdom and things will be added to you. You know, you seek first God, you don't have to chase after the stuff. Amen. A lot of people are chasing stuff because they're not seeking God. I don't chase stuff anymore. Stuff chases me. Why? I seek Him. It's a secret you need to learn in your life. And I was struggling, getting frustrated hunting, frustrated financially. And I had sat in a tree stand. I don't remember how many hours it was that day. And this came up out of my heart from the Holy Ghost. When's the last time you woke up at 4 a.m. to spend time with me? When's the last time you sat down in my word or in prayer for 3-4 hour session like you will in a tree stand? I said, never. Oh, spring turkey season? You know, you got to get up real early in the morning. There was a stretch there at one time where we were driving this place we called the hot spot, because this place was tucked way back off a field. Nobody could see it. And I'm telling you what, it was a turkey hot spot. But to get there, the walk was terribly long. But you had to get in there in the dark because the turkeys roosted in the trees close to the field. And you start walking through a field when it's getting light outside and those turkeys are waking up, they're going to see us. So you got to get in there in the pitch black. And so I'm walking. So to get to the hot spot, I'd have to wake up at 3 a.m. to go turkey hunting. And I did that for I don't know how many days in a row. And the Lord said, when's the last time you woke up early to spend time with me? When's the last time you spent hours with me? See, the point was, is we will make time and effort for that which is important to us. That which matters to us, we will find the time within our busyness to make that which is important to us and mean something to us. We'll make it happen. Amen. But notice this about Jesus, though. And we're still on number one here. Even when it wasn't convenient, He made the time. But Pastor Mike, you don't understand, my Jesus prayed all night. And then went in the morning and did work. I'm not telling you to have to pray all night, but I'm saying, could people maybe stay up 15, 20 minutes longer to pray? Sure. Could people wake up maybe 15, 20 minutes earlier to pray? Sure they could. Could people maybe skip their lunch break one time a day and pray? Absolutely. If it's important to you, you'll make the time for it. Jesus prayed all night. He got done ministering. He departed and prayed. He woke up early in the morning before all the busyness and all the craziness to pray. Why? He had a revelation. I have to pray. I have to pray. And if Jesus has to pray, we need to pray. Why? Because James 5:16 says that prayer equals power. No prayer, no power. Amen. And Jesus understood, if I'm going to go out and be effective, when the devil is launching all the assaults at me, when I'm out saving the world, that's what he was doing, casting the devils out, laying hands on the people that were oppressed by the enemy, he says, I need to get in the quiet place. I need to tank up and be with God. And we looked at some of those things when we talk about praying in the Holy Ghost, that the Bible says those that pray in the Spirit, they're edified, they're built up, they're charged up. Why are some people moody and walk into wrong things and can't control their addictions and can't do the right thing? They don't have any power. Why? They haven't taken the time to tank up. They haven't taken the time to plug into the spiritual, supernatural power pack that is Jesus and through prayer, praise God. But you see, he prayed all night, he woke up early in the morning, he separated himself. All things that we can do if we had a revelation of the importance of prayer. What are we learning tonight? We're looking at Jesus' prayer life to adopt things that he's our example. So that's number one. He made the time and found the time even when it wasn't convenient. Are you ready for number two? He was faithful to pray. This wasn't just a... Like a a failed New Year's resolution, where Jesus on the first of, you know, December 31st, he says, Lord, Father, I'm going to make an effort starting tomorrow, January 1st. I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to do it. Father, I promise you. Jesus wakes up early in the morning on January 1st of whatever year it was, and he says, okay, I'm praying. Okay, January 2nd, I'm sticking to my resolution. January 3rd, I'm sticking to it. January 4th, sleeps in a little longer. Come on. Oh, it's okay. You know how the New Year's resolutions go. They start out like this, and then crash. He was faithful. What's faithful mean? Consistent in his life on the earth of spending time with God, praying, praise God. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, we looked at it, but I want to just mention to you, it says here, Luke 5 and verse 16, it says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Now, we know this is true, what I'm about to say. It doesn't say it right here in the King James, but in other translations, the NIV says this, Jesus often, the Message Bible says, as often as possible. What's that called? Consistency. And we know by looking at other scriptures that he did often do that. He was consistent to do that, to withdraw himself and to go in the wilderness and prayed. Look at Luke 6:12, what it says. Luke 6:12 says, and it came to pass in those days, not in one day, in those days he went out to a mountain to pray and continued to pray all night. What's it say? In those days, multiple days, he did that. What's that called? Consistency. Faithfulness to pray. Faithfulness to pray. Hallelujah. Look at what it says in Luke 18 and verse 1. Talking about Jesus was faithful to pray. Not only did he make time to do it, it wasn't just a one-time thing. Well, I start out like a firecracker, and then 10 days later, I'm done. No, he was faithful to pray. Oh, that's so good, Father. I'll say that. You know you have a revelation of a paycheck? Come on. And that you need money? Come on. And that you have to pay your bills? And you know what that caused you to do? Faithfully go to work. Come on. Even when you don't want to. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when it's not convenient. You do it. Why? You have a revelation. I need that dollar bill, baby. Woo!
That's so good.
Yeah. Yep. You're faithful to make sure your kids get an education. Day in and day out, getting educated. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. You're faithful to make sure your children are fed and clothed and taken care of every day, day in and day out. Faithful to consistent to do it. Why? You have a revelation.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's great.
Don't you love the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
He just knows how to get right to us. The Bible says in Luke 18:1, he spoke this parable to them to this end, that men ought, every once in a while,
come on.
That's not what the Master said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, you can look at that two ways. That prayer, we see this is true of the Bible, that prayer causes you not to faint, but also in your praying, don't faint in the act of praying. What's that mean? Don't start out like a firecracker and then fizzle out like a firework. Boom, you started out great, and then where'd it go? Abby's always like, where'd they go? She can't figure it out. Where'd they go, Dad? And I try to explain her, she don't get it. They're there, and they're bright, and they're big, and they're colorful, but where'd they go, Dad? That's what a lot of people do with spiritual things. They start out like a firecracker and fizzle out. He's faithful, faithful, faithful. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Are you getting help tonight?
Amen.
We need to be prayers in this church. My goodness, there's a plan of God that needs to happen around here.
Amen.
Things are going to start popping. If I can get you to pray, and we've told you your role. We've shown you in the Bible what the Bible says about prayer, that we cannot do the plan of God without prayer. Your life will not be what it needs to be and accomplish what it needs to accomplish without prayer. Proverbs 28 and verse 20says this. It says, a faithful man will abound in blessings. What am I trying to say? Faithfulness, it pays to be faithful is what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
And if we're called to pray, faithfulness in prayer will be a blessing. Now, I want to show you in the Word that faithfulness to pray pays off. You'll find this in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And you know where I'm going with this. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It pays to be faithful in the area of prayer. Why? Because a faithful man will abound in blessings. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm so stirred up to pray right now. I just want to kick this cup over. I just want to just kick it over right now. I'm just so fired up. See, prayer has become a mundane chore for people because they don't have a revelation. Because they've not broken through the veil of the flesh. It's become a, I got to pray instead of I get to pray. See, when I say I'm so stirred up to pray, I want to kick that cup over, it's because I know that when I get in that place with Him, I can minister to the Lord. I can worship God. I can pray in the Holy Ghost and communicate from my spirit. And God will reward me for those things. That God will show me things. That God will speak to me. That things are happening in my life. And it's like, you get a revelation of that. And you do it, praise God. You know why Pastor Mike likes pizza? I got a revelation. It's good. So I go back to it often. Got a revelation. Hebrews 11:6, it pays to be faithful. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God, notices he that cometh to God. What's that? Cometh to God in prayer. Cometh to God in relationship, intimacy, one-on-one time. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that casually... Every once in a while, no. Jesus was faithful in prayer. And He's trying to tell us something. That if we will diligently seek God. Amen. Seeking God. He'll reward you. You know what those rewards come in the form of? Revelations. I got a revelation tonight about Mary and Martha praying. He rewarded me. Praise God. You know what it comes in the form of? A reward? Showing you your future. Clarity, hard things that you don't know how to get by, questions you've had, answers them. The reward of, you know, all of a sudden you're out in public and someone's going through something and you start ministering and flowing because you got the power of God, you've been tanked up on God, and the words come out and you hear yourself and you're thinking, how am I doing this? And yeah, amen. Praise God. But notice how the reward comes through diligent seeking Him. Not fizzing out like a firework. And who is our example? Jesus. He often withdrew Himself. In those days, men ought always to pray and not faint. Praise God. You know what that means? There's going to be opportunities in your faithfulness to pray to faint. Busyness comes up. Don't faint. Extra things happen, extra tired. Don't faint. Don't do it. Just pray. Pray, pray, pray. Praise God. So number one, we see in Jesus' life and in the scriptures we looked at, in the five scriptures we looked at, there was three common themes that jumped out to me. Number one was that He made time and found time to pray even when it wasn't convenient. Number two, He was faithful. And now you're ready for number three. Amen. You need to adopt this in your prayer life. He made it a point to be alone with God. I'm going to explain some things that will help you here. He withdrew Himself. He made it a point in His prayer life. Yes, He had a public prayer life. He did have a public prayer life. But He also made it a time for one-on-one time with the Father. Amen. Now, I'll give you this example here, and then we'll read some verses to you here. When I'm with my children at... let's say we go down to Courtney's relatives. She's got a big family, many aunts and uncles, things like that. And they get together quite often during the year. And we'll go down there, and my kids will be down there. And I always joke, you know, that, like, there's times maybe I can't go because of church or something. Like for example, Abby's got her last soccer game tonight. Well, I'm not there because I'm obeying God. And Abby will say, oh, Dad, I wish you could be there. I say, Abby, you don't care. Grandma and Grandpa are going to be there. It's not going to be like Dad's even on planet Earth when Grandma and Grandpa are there. You know, and I'll say, like, we have to go down to, like, there was a graduation party on Saturday, and I had to be here, and I couldn't be there. And so I didn't, and they'll say, oh, I wish you could. I said, you don't care. You got your cousins. Dad will be, like, non-existent to you there. And it's true. You know, they're playing and busy and things. Now, here's the thing. I'll be at a place like that, and my kids will be there, and they're my children. But the interaction I have with them at a place like that, a public place like that, is so less special, so less meaningful, so less quality. But when Dad takes Caleb one-on-one to go in the woods or go somewhere, or Dad takes Abby on a date, and it's one-on-one time, just me and her. It's different than when I'm with Abby and all the other people around. When you get alone with the Father and start spending quality, intimate time with Him, it's different than corporate prayer. Corporate prayer has its place, but oh, thank God for the quiet times, the intimacy with the Father. And now here's one reason why it's so important. Go to Psalms 46 and verse 10. Psalms 46 and verse 10. Oh, Lord, thank you for helping us. Will I share this tomorrow? We'll see what the Holy Ghost says. I don't know. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Psalms 46 and verse 10. Like, for example, Sunday morning, I had just a random message come into my heart. Hallelujah. Don't know if we'll ever share it here or not. I mean, eventually we'll share probably things about that, you know, but I don't have that on my heart to share that exact message this Saturday. But anyways, it says, be still. Be still. You know what the Message Bible says? Take a step out of the traffic. Take a step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God above. Take a step out of the traffic. It says, be still. And look what it says, the result of being still is, and know. Be still and know. See, the knowing, and know that I am God, what's that mean? Knowing who He is, knowing His benefits, reaping His rewards. They come from getting alone and quiet with Him. See, a lot of people want to just fit in. Now again, we look at Jesus, we can say this. Jesus was busy. He had a lot to do. But He didn't just expect to get His revelation on the road to the next place with multitudes around Him. Could He get revelation that way? Sure. Can you get revelation ironing the clothes when your kids are running around? Absolutely. Can you get revelation driving in the car, in traffic, and you're thinking? You sure can. But it can't take the place of the private intimacy. Why? The ultimate example showed us there's times of withdrawing. There's times of alone time. There's times of intimacy. What's that time of? Getting quiet. Being still. Why? What happens when you're still? You know some things. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Where does God speak? Does God speak to the mind? No. Does God speak to your flesh? No. Where does God speak? Spirit. For as many as are led, that's God speaking to you, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God's going to talk to your spirit. When you need answers, God's going to reveal to your spirit. Now, it'll enlighten your mind, but He doesn't talk to the mind. He talks to the heart. He leads the spirit. Praise God. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people, because of the hustle and bustle and the carnality of man and the intellect and, you know, just the analytical mind, people's minds can be very loud. I mean, it's like a traffic jam up here, right? Their flesh can be very carnal, whereas, for example, you go to pray, you weren't hungry, but you go to pray, and all of a sudden you're hungry. You weren't tired, but you go to pray, and all of a sudden you're tired. What is that? Your flesh kicking up. Your flesh being loud. It always blessed me when my pastor said 90-some% of the things I do, which are spiritual things, he said, I don't feel like doing. That told me that his flesh kicks up too, but he doesn't listen to his flesh. He doesn't listen to his mind. Why? His inner man's louder or bigger than his flesh and his mind. And he dominates or rules and reigns from the inward man. Tells, like Paul said, he said, I buffet my body. I strike it blow by blow. I tell my body what it's going to do. What's that mean? Paul's body wanted to do the same thing. Remember what it said about Elijah? He's a man with like passions. He's just like us. He has temptations to be lazy, temptations to not do spiritual things, but yet he prayed anyways. That's a mark of a spiritual person. Doing what you don't feel like doing, doing what's right, just doing what the Word says. Praying when you don't feel like praying is a mark of a spiritual person. Amen. Can I let the cat out of the bag? My flesh and mind did not want to come here extra early, my flesh and my mind, to pray. My flesh and my mind doesn't want to leave when it's nice and sunny out and drive an hour. My flesh and my mind. But who cares what my flesh and my mind say? I tell my flesh and my mind what my flesh and my mind are going to do. But what I'm trying to get to you is that it's so loud up here, it's so loud here. And how does God speak? Does God speak to you through fireworks and the writing on the wall and kaboom? No! The inward witness, the still, small voice. He's not in the earthquakes. Remember, Elijah, he's not there. He's not in the fire. He's not in the wind. That's why the leading of the Holy Ghost can be missed by so many people, because it's not spectacular. It's supernatural, but it's not spectacular. And when God leads, it's that small voice, that small inkling, that small leading. And when your flesh is so loud, it's hard to hear this. When your mind is so loud, it's hard to hear that leading. Now, it's your job to be still and know. What did he say? You want to get some knowing, some revelation, some insight, some blessings in prayer? You be still. You know what he's telling you? Just like he said, if you don't pray, there's no power. No still, no knowing. You got to make time to get quiet. Jesus made time to get quiet, and he got some benefits from it.
Amen.
So we got the still, small voice. Now, Brandy, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to put a worship song on and start it out super quiet. And I'll have you to go ahead and just put any worship song that we have in the pre-list on and put it real quiet in the back.
So let's do that tonight.
Even go quieter than that. Now, I'm just going to stand here, and I'm going to take my microphone off. Well, then people online should hear me. I'll just talk lower. But I'm just going to say the ABCs over and over again. And let's pretend that ABCs is your help. It is everything you need to get by. The letters that I'm saying, oh, that's what I need, okay? So as I go like this, keep raising it up. Still small voice. That's a still small voice, right? I didn't change my level of my volume, but did you start to struggle to hear me? You did, right? Why? Things around you got loud. God doesn't change his volume or the way he speaks to people because everything around you is loud.
That's so good. That's good.
Why? Everything around Jesus was loud, but guess what he did to hear the Father's voice? He departed. He woke up early. He went to a mountain. He went to the wilderness. Whatever he had to do, he got away. That's why the Bible says when you pray, go into your prayer closet. What's that? What's the closet? Not saying that you have to pray in a closet, but it's signifying an alone place, an apart place, a quiet place.
Amen.
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 Jesus had success in prayer, heard from the Father. And so many people, they got so much going on in their mind, so much going on in their flesh. They're so busy and they want to get their praying in. I'll just get my praying in while I'm ironing, while I'm feeding the kids, while I'm doing this at work. Those are, yes, fellowship with God. He's there with you and you can get things from God. But when God wants to speak to you and you need answers and you need revelation, you're going to have to quiet that down, because I was speaking in a still small voice and you all heard me when the background noise was quieter. But as the background increased, my voice didn't increase and it drowned me out. And God's always speaking. He's always speaking to us. Always speaking to us. We're just not in a position to hear all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Well, were you blessed tonight?
Amen.
So number one, remember, Jesus made time even when it wasn't convenient. Number two, he was faithful to pray. And number three, he withdrew to a quiet place to hear from God. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful for what we receive. Father, this is our help. Jesus, you're our example. Thank you for showing us the way. And so, Lord, even as I preach, there's correction for my own life, direction for my own life. There's things I want to get. There's things I want to walk into, Father, for your plan to be accomplished. It's not going to come without prayer. So, Father, thank you for our help tonight. We're so grateful for everything you've done, for everything you've given to us. We just love you so much. Now, Lord, I know that everybody in here is born again. I know that. Everybody here, it's factual. They're born again. But, Lord, there might be somebody listening right now that we don't know about, or listening in the future on the archive, and they've never received Jesus. And they don't know how to get to heaven. Maybe they have ideas of how to get there, but they're not sure of how to get to heaven. Well, the Bible says there's the way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus. Romans 10 and verse 9 tells us, says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So there's two qualifications, believing and receiving. If you're listening right now and you say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, I want to. Number one, you must believe in Jesus. If you can say to yourself, I deep down in my heart believe that Jesus was real, and I believe he died and rose again. I might not understand it all or can't figure this out in my head, but in my heart I know it's true. That's the first qualification. And the next qualification is confessing your belief in him. And it just goes like this. You just simply say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. When you do that, he will. He'll save you. And online there, the website that you're listening to this on, there's an email there. There's a phone number there. Give me a call. Give me an email. Let me know you received Jesus. There's so much more for you. Now you've received heaven when you do that, but there's so much more for you. And I want to get some materials in your hand and get you some direction to help you live your best life ever. Father, we thank you so much. Now, before we close this service, it would seem that since we pray, it talked about prayer, we should pray a little bit. I know we prayed before, but would y'all give me 5 minutes of prayer? 5 minutes of corporate prayer time together. And I know not everybody can be here before work to do this. And we appreciate your prayer. I had someone text me and say, Pastor, I can't be there for corporate prayer, but I'm going to be praying from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And we appreciate that. That's power. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so let's go ahead right now and let's go ahead in this prayer. I'm going to pray in English and then we're going to take off praying. Now, for those of you that have never been filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, it's something that is for you. I can show it to you clearly in the Bible. It's a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to the plan of God. If you've never received that, get a hold of me sometime. Or you can come up right now and get filled. We've had people be filled in this service. We had someone a couple weeks ago in South Dayton. We're up to like 10 people in 3 or 4 weeks. And so don't let it weird you out or freak you out, so to speak. You know, we can show you in the Bible. And if you want to receive that tonight, you can. If not, get a hold of me. I'll get some materials in your hand, and you can learn about it, and then go down the road to receive it. Amen? Well, let's just go ahead and let's praise him first. Father, we're just so grateful. We're just so thankful for your word and for what you've done for us tonight. We're so thankful for your help. Jesus, thank you for being the example for us in prayer. And Lord, it's just such an honor to pray and to seek you. Father, we seek you tonight, Lord. We're not after things. We're after you and your plan. That's what we want, Father. We know the rewards will come. We know the stuff will come, Father, because you're faithful and you're kind and merciful and generous. But Lord, we're here to seek you and your plan. And Father, we just thank you. Your plan will be accomplished in this area, in this church, in our lives, in this region. Father, we ask that you pour out the Holy Ghost. Rain down, Lord. Send the rain. Send the rain, Father. Saturate the people of Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County, causing hearts to turn to you and hearts to turn back to you. Father, I thank you for many salvations, hundreds coming out of darkness into light. And Lord, stretch forth thy hand to heal, that signs, wonders, and miracles would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given so people would profit. That's what you want. That's what we want, Father. So we're in cahoots together. We're laboring together with you, Father, as the word says. So we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. We say the gifts of the Spirit will be in full potential power, and not only in the wall, between the walls of these churches, but in my personal life and in the people's personal life, Father. The gifts of the Spirit were not just meant for inside the walls of the church. They were meant to bring the lost to Jesus. And Father, I thank you. We all have an anointing. So I thank you the gifts of the Spirit are operating in our midst. An increase, an uptick, and the multiplication of signs, wonders, and miracles, and the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. Now, Father, your will be done on this earth. Your plans, your purposes be done. Now, Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, the Bible says that you're our helper, that when we don't know everything that we ought to pray for, you know what we need to pray for you give us the utterance, and you help us to pray according to the perfect will of God. That's what we want, to pray out God's perfect will for this church, for this region, for the people of this area. So Holy Ghost, as we lift our voice to pray in tongues, we thank you according to the word that we might not understand it in our minds, but we thank you according to the word we will speak the perfect will of God. Now let's go ahead and let's pray for 5 minutes. Let's give 5 minutes of our time to this plan in Jesus' name. Now, Adrede bon sungo durno shkadrai skandrando skobroto kotra mata ke se trete. Dreve dogo motoshka trade sketreme to kotra ta sketrete se. Drama maya to kondra ma da sketreto skotro mo hoto to skotra da sketre. Dreve sen drebe mo do skodra da sketrete te. Vrenda sam brangaye to skotro bo to kostra in ta skatrai peta. Drosso mo hoto kosha trande sketrete se te te. Avrete sem bo drosko trondo skotra da sketre de. Dresko Bodoscotro motosca traista chandrante sete, vreta scondro motosco tra devese, vrendosco brondoscodra bata scadra, vrendosco droda sadrisque betosca trante te, dresse trepe pese. Yeah, yeah, and for those people, keep praying. For those people that hearing this, they say, that's not for me, I can't do that. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the devil. The Bible says this gift's for everybody. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord, this gift is for. Jesus said, in my name, they that believe will speak in new tongues. Paul said, I wish that everybody would do it. Not that everybody could. He said, I wish that everybody would do it. Peter said, this gift is for you. As many as the Lord our God shall call, we thank you for it. So don't listen to that lie of the enemy. It's for you in Jesus' name. And it's easy. It's easy, praise God. All the things of God, the promises of God are yes and amen. The gift of the Holy Ghost. This intimate language with Him, the answer is yes. Praise God. Otra mate che stendo dodo shokondra di te schede do. Vredo motosco droba da schitra satete. Adremedo sokondra bate schetrendo scopro do scotra da schete. Vreto scotromo na tasche trebete setre. Ieta sadra masco droto sotra ba. Adravese dreme gotota shotrongo matate schetretete. Vrata sapratikis tramahata sokotra da. Vrande schendro modogo tatasha tredese te cota. Drate che tota shakrete setre. Natre bengo drondada, vrande nemeska drodoskatra, vrede sa drama medeskodro, i drandasadra, vrenda sedreve, vredosko droda, vrandava, mendrengo, doskotra, da sitri, vrete kento, motra satanda, vreta matunku, trondaskatrete, vrata sarite, mesedro, vrada zedre, vrendos godroba da skedresko toca, vrata sekito so dromo kotosha trabe seketo, vreta sambrandala, Randeves condro boto socotrosa trete sambrate setete. Odra da sekendo doscodrota savrede sebredodo. Nrobandala che te se crenco to sotrata. Rende sodromo no sodrongo dada. Vrada se drevo to so comoto tashatrakete. Vranda meske vrebe cotrosca trapete. Rota sadisa dramato socondradese. Vrata satene mesco bonto no scotradasete. Lata sindilo musucum. Dalla secchietta testo tro vrata se brequa tato scopro poco to na obradne schedre batoska vrata satrito so godroma se grede sambranda se dreda se te drota sadrisa bomutota scatra be mamma drake tendo to contro motosco trobo tasse tre vranda schedre me do contro motosca tre te schedre vete la te schedre to contro se catrate se vreba quattara to sottata drete sambrudusco drama de schedre de vreda bardasco drodoskite da sadrama madra mamma mateto scotro Mradeska drete se breke tu sondro madasa dredesa dradosa dradesa dramaska trodoska trabetesa tre la bedesko trobondo sotro bodonda dradese drengua ta tosko trota sa treta sutrosa matata vreto skombro dosko tre setete leta sa drande de eto oro no so koma ta sa trata vreto so broto sa brama se trete drama masavro gendrese vendro botosko Pratasi, 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 pratason, rambede, vrandemedo, gondramade, drate sketroska, prakate se trota sandriskete, vrendosko dramba, batate se tre. Father, we thank you, you've heard us tonight. We thank you, Lord, power's been made available. Father, we thank you, we've prayed out your will. And Father, we thank you as we continue to be faithful, not only for times of corporate prayer, but people will pick up this mantle and pray in private, pray for the plan of God, pray in the Holy Ghost for the things to come. Father, we thank you for change. We thank you for increase in the spirit realm. We thank you for gifts of the Spirit increasing. We thank you people will come. The harvest will come. Miracles, signs, and wonders will come. And Father, you'll get the glory. You'll get the praise. You'll get the spotlight, we promise you, Father, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I close, let me just say this came up my heart to tell you this. If you'll be humble, God will use you. What do I mean? When you start being used in the supernatural realm and words of wisdom, words of knowledge, laying hands on the sick and they recover, there will be a temptation to your mind to look at me. The humble will be used and lifted up by God. Always give Him the glory. That's why I'm so quick when we have healings and we lay hands or God calls things out to say, I'm not the healer. I'm not the miracle worker. When I give a message, say, it's not the preaching, it was the Lord. I just delivered what the Lord gave. Why? He'll continue to keep using me if I won't steal His glory. Amen. Amen. And I have no reason to steal it because I am nothing without Him. If you'll have that mentality, because when you're used, it's an exciting thing to be used by God. And there's a temptation to want to be puffed up about that. Don't allow that. Always deflect it back to Him. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand to our feet and give Him glory before we close. Come on and give Him a shout of praise tonight. Lord, we bless You. We love You. We thank You for all that You're doing. For all that You've done and all that You will do. We give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said... Amen. You're dismissed. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who always calls us.